Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, how about sticking with me? It's going to be a time of motivation, some inspiration, education, and we do this without any type of manipulation. So we're not trying to con you, we're not trying to hustle you, we're not asking you for anything except a few minutes of your time so that we can give you some information. The information, I pray, will help you verify as well as identify God's plan for your life. And if I can do that, you have the freedom to orient and adjust to the plan. But the Flatline heard every Sunday on this radio station, we're going on 12 years now, being on the air across this country, is designed with one thing in mind, to teach you the principles and the procedures found in the Word of God that relate to the basic concept of what it means to be a Christian, how to live the Christian life. We're not here trying to dazzle you with any words, not here trying to promote any book, not trying to sell anything, just trying to offer you some accurate information. Many people that listen to this show are born-again believers. They've accepted Christ as their Savior, and I'm very grateful for that. Our show is heard from California to New York, and I always love to hear from you. If you're listening in any of the cities where this show plays, would you just let me know? Let me know that we're being heard. I always like to know that. That we're being heard in Wyoming, that we're being heard in Colorado, that we're being heard in California, that we're being heard in Mississippi and Missouri, that we're being heard in Illinois, that we're being heard wherever the show plays. If you could let us know, just drop us a note on the email from our website, rickhughesministries.org, and just let us know you're listening. It always helps me when I decide contract time is up, whether we need to go to a different station or keep going where we are, because nobody knows how many folks listen to the radio show. No, can't count the heads or anything. And so we're just trusting that God is using this show to help you. That's my prayer, because my objective is to see you become a mature believer where you glorify God to the maximum in your life. And that requires, I'm not a pastor. I don't intend to be your pastor. I can direct you to where you can find one if you'd like some information about how to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. I can sure tell you that. But my job is to open the window, let a breath of fresh air come in, to use that analogy, and let you see the potential of what you can learn, what you can understand. In our last radio show, we dealt with being the word spiritual, being a spiritual Christian. And I talked quite a bit about spirituality and carnality and the difference between the two. And we talked about what is a spiritual Christian, what is not a spiritual Christian, and what's a carnal Christian. And basically, I told you that a spiritual Christian is a man or a woman who is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's spiritual. But that's not the same as being mature. Maturity is a different thing. Spirituality has to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit, and maturity has to do with the content of the Word of God in your soul. So we're going to pick up with that thought today here on The Flatline. And remember, The Flatline is made up of wonderful problem-solving devices that you learn and store in your soul so you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. Well, the information that I'm giving you is called Divine Viewpoint. And that would fit right into the Flatline under doctrinal orientation, biblical orientation. That's a problem-solving device, learning to acquire the mind of Christ. And that's what we're doing here. We're learning the Word of God. We're learning some doctrine. And so I left off last Sunday talking about maturity in the Christian life is related to the content of the doctrine you have in your soul, and it's relative to each individual. Some people may have 50 cc's of doctrine, and some people may have 100 cc's. In other words, maturity is different, and it depends on how much of the Word of God you know. Now, without being filled with the Holy Spirit, the content of the Word of God in your soul is not going to be very effective for you, because the Holy Spirit can't do His job. So a mature believer is a believer that's filled with the Holy Spirit, on a consistent basis and takes in the Word of God on a consistent basis. Now, we ran into a problem in Hebrews 5. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews recognized a problem. He said in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, I have many things to say to you, and they're hard for me to say them, because you're dull of hearing. It means you can't pay attention. You can't keep your eyes open. I just had lunch with some Christian friends, and they were talking about people in their church who wouldn't shut up while the preacher was teaching, or wouldn't shut up while the Sunday school teacher was teaching, and because they want to talk. And whenever the Word of God is taught, there demands concentration. If you can't shut up and listen, how can you learn anything? And this is a problem. If you want to go to church and learn something, and the guy and the gal in front of you are yakking away, and they're distracting you, you're not going to learn much of anything. But these people that are dull of hearing are the people that can't pay attention. Their mind drifts, their mind wanders, they think about where they're going for lunch, what they're going to have for dinner tonight. They're going through everything in their head except what they should be going through. And you know, this sort of person is a person who goes to church and fulfills the ritual of church going, and there's no reality to it. And ritual without reality is totally meaningless. And so it's a sad state of affairs that we have in churches across America today. A lot of people that don't hear what the pastor's saying. Well, they're there, and they're sitting in the pew, and they're grinning from ear to ear, but they're not listening, and they're not applying the information. So the writer of Hebrews recognized this. He said, you're dull of hearing. He said in Hebrews 5:12, for in the time ought to be for you to be a teacher, but you have need someone come back and teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you are become such as one who needs a bottle or milk and not strong meat. Here's what he's saying. You've been saved long enough to be a teacher, but you're not able to teach because you don't even know the basic principles of the Word of God. You don't even know the basics. And so he said, I can't give you strong meat. I can't give you a steak, so to say, because it would choke you to death. And I have seen some people, when you try to feed them a steak in church, if you get some deeper things of God with them, you just can't keep their attention. They choke on it. They just can't handle it. So they need the bottle. They need little basics. They need little short sermons, little short messages, with a few points in a poem, and they're happy. But if you want to learn God's Word, if you want to grow up, then you're going to have to learn to chew on some steak. You're going to have to learn to get under a pastor that knows how to cook a steak, so to say, and when he teaches you the Bible. That he's not there just to give you pudding and dessert. He's there to give you meat. Now, this writer goes on to say in verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's just a baby. And the strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, for everyone that uses milk, he's unskillful, he's a baby. Baby Christians, we've all been there. I was there as a young Christian. I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 22 years old. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about a Bible. I never read a Bible. And I had to get a Bible, and I had to start reading, and I had to start learning, and thank goodness, I mean, I went to Bible college, but it wasn't there. It wasn't there that I got the information. It was really from my pastor, who taught me the nuances to the Christian life, how to live the Christian life. I learned a lot about the Bible in Bible college, but I didn't learn a lot about how to live the Christian life, the mechanics. And that's what a babe is. A babe is a believer, and maybe he's been saved 6 months, but the tragedy is if he's been saved 6 years and he's still a baby. He still has to have a bottle. He still can't concentrate. You still can't give him strong meat because he can't understand it. So the writer of Hebrews had been trying to explain in this passage how the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And he was sensing that the recipients would not understand this advanced doctrine. So he sort of backed up and punted. And for every believer, I think it's just a matter of priorities. I mean, if you're going to learn God's Word, it's going to require some academic discipline and some concentration, and this is the key. concentration. Babies don't normally concentrate very long. And concentration is necessary if you're going to grow spiritually. That means you're going to have to put other things out of your mind, and you're going to have to concentrate on the teaching of the Word of God. And so you may only be able to concentrate for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Sometimes it's that true with me too. I sit down to study and put in a DVD of my pastor teaching me the Bible, and sometimes my mind will wander, and sometimes I'll pick up the cell phone and look at an email message or something, and I lose my concentration. And that's not a good thing. We must concentrate if we're going to learn. And sometimes the pastor has to use repetition. And that's one of the good things that my pastor does when he's teaching me. It's like a bombing run in an airplane. He'll fly over and drop a few bombs, principles, points that I need to learn. And then he'll turn around and circle and fly over again and drop some more bombs. He's saying the same thing, but he's saying it in a different way. And so repetition, repetition, repetition is essential. I mean, you look at the guys that were in the Army and forward marched, about face, they can do it in their sleep because they did it so many times. So if you're going to learn God's Word, you must concentrate. There must be some repetition. And without that, there can be no recall and no application in your life. You have to be able to recall what you've learned. And sometimes the rate of forgetting is bigger than the rate of learning, and then you're in trouble. But you must be able to recall what you learn, and you must be able to apply what you recall. And that's where we say the rubber meets the road, so to say. But if you just can't handle it, if you just fall asleep, or you can't concentrate, can't keep your eyes open, you can't keep your mind on the subject, and you're drifting and you're daydreaming and thinking, when is this guy going to shut up? When am I going to get out of here? If you're a believer, you're certainly the baby. You need a little bottle that you can suck on, because if he gave you a steak, you'd choke to death. So if you're going to develop your own spiritual life, if you're going to grow spiritually, you have to develop an advanced plan in your life, going through spiritual self-esteem, and then moving to spiritual autonomy and eventually spiritual maturity. Under spiritual self-esteem, you get the confidence to live your life and not have to depend on everyone else to live it for you. You don't have to run, ask questions, everybody. And then spiritual autonomy, you're able to glorify God on your own, stand on your own two feet. And then under spiritual maturity, you're able to face up to the warfare that you're in Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God, stand against the strategy of the devil, and you're able to glorify God to the maximum under spiritual maturity. This is what everybody goes through. Everybody goes through spiritual self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, and spiritual maturity. You go from being a baby believer to being a student believer to being a mature believer. And the filling of the Holy Spirit, plus all of those problem-solving devices, those 10 unique problem-solving devices that we talk about, those are provided by God. So you don't have to be dependent on other people, so that you are dependent only on the Word of God. Once you depend on the Word of God, then you get everybody else out of the picture. Not someone else who offers their advice or counseling. If you pay to go to Christian counseling, I pity you. If your pastor teaches you the Word of God, you don't have to pay to go to Christian counseling, but people do. I'm sure there's some good Christian counselors, I guess so, but all they're going to do is tell you what the Bible says, if they're good Christian counselors, and how to apply what the Bible says, and that's the job of your pastor. So getting into the Word of God, learning the Word of God, applying the Word of God, moving to spiritual maturity in your life, that's what we want you to do. We want you to become that sort of individual, not a person who depends on someone else. And that's why you have church. You go, take your Bible, take your notebook, sit down, not on the back row, get up front where you belong, and listen to what the pastor teaches you. And hopefully he will teach you God's Word so you can apply it into your life. You have to develop that spiritual self-esteem, even as a new Christian, so you could have some sort of confidence in your life that's based on the Word of God, what God has a plan for you. What is God's plan for your life? How do you fulfill that plan for your life? But once the Word of God starts taking root, once your pastor starts teaching and starts watering the Word of God in your soul, then things won't be so fuzzy. And things will come into image. You'll start seeing a very sharp image or focus about what you should do as a believer. It's awesome when you develop contentment in your life to where you know that even if you're treated unfairly, that you're going to be just fine. The Lord can handle that. Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. And when you have that humility mindset, then you're well on your way to glorifying God to the maximum. As a Christian professional, you have to understand the mechanics of the Christian life. I want to ask you that simple question. Christian professional, that sounds like a complicated term, but that should be you. You should be that Christian professional. If you are a Christian professional, that means you understand the mechanics of the Christian life and that you also exercise integrity in your life. And what is the motivation for integrity? Well, it's your personal love for God. The Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me. My mandates are not hard. So there's your integrity. It's motivated by personal love for God. But how can you love a God you don't know? And how can you know a God you don't learn about? I mean, come on. You got to understand he's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, immutability, veracity, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. So you rattled that off kind of quick. Yes, I did. Because I've heard it 1,000 times from my pastor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. As I heard it, I learned it. As I learned it, I know what my God is like. I know he's eminent and transcendent. I know that he thought about me in eternity past, and he provided a plan for me in eternity past. You should know these things. This gives you great confidence in God's plan for your life, that after you accepted Christ as your Savior, he didn't leave you alone on an island to try to figure it out for yourself. He provided a spiritual mentor called the Holy Spirit. He provided a playbook called the Bible. He provided a coach called a pastor. And you must learn what's in the playbook. Spiritual autonomy is awesome. Once you get that autonomy, you have the strength to faithfully execute the mechanics that you've learned from the Word of God. You begin to have courage and poise, and it's nothing but, you know, if you have that courage and poise, then that's composure that you have from the Word of God in your soul. And so let's talk about spiritual autonomy. Spiritual autonomy, being independent. Listen to 1 Timothy 6. But godliness, verse 6 out of 1 Timothy 6, 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's the key word, contentment, being content. Paul said, I've learned to be content, whatever state I'm in, whether I have a lot, whether I have a little, doesn't make any difference. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out of this world. So having food and raiment, let us be content. And then in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. That autonomy, the ability to be independent and to be content with what God has given you, is what keeps you out of trouble. If you have that contentment, then you have the wonderful capacity for God to pour into your cup all kind of blessings. But if you're not content, regardless of what God gives you, you'll never be satisfied. So you have to wait. God waits until you are content before he gives you something you can't handle that would destroy you. You want something that would destroy you, and you ask God to give you this or give you that. Maybe you prayed that God would let you win the lottery or something like that. It would destroy your life. It would distract you from where you need to be spiritually. So mental contentment, having a contentment, being satisfied with where God has you and doing what God has you doing, that's a stability in your life. It's called spiritual stability, and that's the key to advancing. You cannot ever advance until you're content, and you can't be content without having this stability in your life, and that's where the opportunity to advance comes from, because you'll know your limits. You won't be threatened by superficial nonsense that comes down the pipe. You'll be in control of your own life. You'll have the ability to think for yourself. You'll have the ability to reason with divine viewpoint in your life. And you'll have maximum stability, maximum stability. And that, what do I mean by that? I mean, you're not psychotic. You're not neurotic. You are able to orient your life to the Word of God, to be stable in the Word of God, to be anchored in the Word of God, and then God can pour things into your life and use you like a beacon on a hill. Your goal is to become a spiritually mature believer. You know that. Your goal is to be the winner believer, to have a maximum impact on human history. And it may be an invisible impact. Even though no one may know who you are, as a mature believer, you are well known to the Father, and you are well observed by angels. As a mature believer, being observed by angels, known by the Father, you stabilize the sinking nation that you live in. You have an impact on your human history. You have blessing by association to your nation because you're part of the pivot that sustains. You're part of the core group of mature believers that sustains the freedom of a nation. You're independent of counseling. You don't need human encouragement. You're a mature believer, and you're able to glorify God to the max by means of all the blessings that He pours into your life that just go right on in, right on out, and out to other people. God uses you as a vessel, as a channel of blessing. That's what it's about. So everything you need to advance to maturity has already been provided for you, been given to you by God. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the complete canon of Scripture. You have a local church where you can learn in privacy sitting in your pew. And you have a well-qualified pastor, I hope. But what God will not do is He will not manipulate your volition. He will not infringe on your choices. He will let you make your choices. And bad decisions limit future options. Well, it's all there if you want it. Everything you want in your life is there. God is willing to pour it out on you. But to tell you the truth, most people don't want it. Someone said to me this weekend they won't drive through Christianity. I mean, there was a drive-up church at one time in California where you just drove out and parked in the parking lot and you didn't have to come in, but I don't think that worked out too good. So that's what they want, drive up Christianity. You know, I don't want to get dressed. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to drive up, or I want to get it to go, drive in and feed me a big special meal deal and let me go on out and I'll be okay. There's no such thing. If you want to be a mature believer, if you want to glorify God to the maximum, well, it's going to take a while. You're not going to get it overnight. You must grow up. I've been a Christian over 40 years, and I find more every day that I did not know than what I've learned in the past few years that I do know. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, we should grow up into Him in all things, the one who's the head, it's even Jesus Christ, our Lord. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we're bound to thank God always for you because of your faith grows exceedingly. And as a result, your love has increased one towards another. Your faith grows exceedingly, and your love has increased one towards another. In 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word of God so you can grow by means of that. In 1 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So you keep hearing these things, grow, learn, apply, grow in grace as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word of God so you can grow by means of that. And then in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we thankful of God always because your faith grows exceedingly. And as a result of your growth, your love has increased towards one another. You see the pattern? I mean, it's interesting. Some believers think they don't really need a pastor to help them grow. They think they can just read about it and study it for themselves, and they think that they'll be just fine. And so all they got to do is just get their Bible and go out and sit under the oak tree and smell the swamp smells and listen to the crickets, and they'll be good. Listen, there's nothing wrong with reading your Bible. It's a wonderful thing to do, but it's much better as you sit in a church where a qualified pastor teaches you the Bible and teaches you what you're reading. If I gave you an algebra book and I said, go learn algebra, you couldn't do it without an instructor. And yet you seem to have the idea that you can take your Bible and you don't need a pastor. All I got to do is just take my Bible and I figure it out for myself. You're kidding yourself. You will never do that because the Word of God has technical vocabulary. The Word of God has principles and procedures in it that must be taught. And if there's any spiritual failure, it's always from the people that ignore that. God doesn't want you to be a spiritual failure. So if you get defeated in your spiritual advance, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a terrible person. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you'll never glorify God to the maximum because you got distracted or sidetracked or defeated. Not that you went into some sort of immoral sin, but you just walked away from God's Word. You walked away from a consistent way of learning. You quit going to church. You quit going listening to your pastor, teacher, teach you the Bible. You got so busy in your business and your life and your family and your hobby that you didn't have time for it anymore. And next thing you know, you don't even miss it. I pity you. Not missing, feeding on the Word of God, I pity you. Because you are missing the best meal ever. People always want to tell me in my travel, oh, go eat here, go eat there. Oh, it's a great place to eat. Let me tell you the best place to get the best meal. Sitting at the feet of your pastor. If he's a well-qualified pastor, if he knows the languages and he's teaching it to you, line by line, verse by verse, that is the best meal in the world. He's making you rich. He's giving you a word treasure in your soul that will give you the ability to have the most fabulous life in the world. You don't see it. You don't understand it because you think it's more important to go down to the restaurant and eat. Or you think it's more important to go to the golf course or go fishing or go hunting or go somewhere. But not listen to the teaching of the Word of God. In the long run, you're robbing your own soul. I pity you for that. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I need you to take a stand and get with this program for God in your own life. I pray that and I ask it in His name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.